I might move my give myself a little bit more room in the back here. Beautiful. Was that the C3 Online College? Bert, is that what you did? The C3 Online, right. So here I am in the flesh. I was a bit younger on those videos. So so it's great to be here. How are you going? This is my first time here at C3 Kwinana. I had been when you were meeting at Wellard. So how many of you have never met me before? I would imagine a lot of you. Okay, lovely to meet you. So this is what I say to you people. Your pastors love me, so should you. That's the bottom line, right? Some people kind of like always sitting there checking me out, sussing me out. A bit like it's on a first date. I understand. But I'm only here for, I don't know, just over 30 minutes, 40, 45 minutes. We're going to make the most of it. Yeah. So big thank you to Pastor Stephen and Anami for having me here. I've been in ministry 34 years. I need to update my bio. 34 years. And my husband's still running. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm based at C3 Stand, which is in Langford. Only returned to Perth. I'm Perth born and bred, but in 1992 I went to the Eastern States, went to Brisbane for a prophetic training school for 5 months, took leave without pay, and went for 5 months, and I returned 32 years later. So came back to Perth to care for my mum, actually, and my husband, who's a Brisbane boy, had never lived here, so that's been a transition season for him. Anyway, there you go. You know me well enough now. Any questions? How old I am? I'm not going to tell you. There we go. Okay, let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now that your word is alive, living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword. I thank you for my tongue today is the pen of a ready writer. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for speaking to us today by your Holy Spirit. We haven't come to hear the voice of a woman. We want to hear from you. I declare an open heaven today. I declare open hearts. And I pray, Holy Spirit, for every person here today under the sound of my voice, every person, every family represented. And I pray, Holy Spirit, have your way today. Have your say here at C3 Kwinana. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to start with a verse from 2 Peter, the second epistle of Peter, chapter 1, verse 12, in the New King James Version, firstly. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Everyone say present truth. Present. Say it again, present truth, okay? It's important to hold that thought. In the NIV, it says, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. So what is present truth? What's present truth? It's the truth you now have. It's not the truth you don't have. It's that which you do have. For those of you who don't know me, I have Italian heritage. My father, Tony D'Orazio, Antonio D'Orazio, migrated from Abruzzo, Italy in 1951. And although we have Italian heritage, we were always told that we were originally from Spain, that we were migrants from Spain to Italy. In fact, our nickname, the family nickname in our village in Italy, our village, Farafiriorum Petri, there you go, say that quickly, Farafiriorum Petri, called Fara for short, we were known as Espanol, Espanol, that was, which means the Spaniards. In our particular dialect, the Spaniards. Now, I'd been told this, brought up believing it, and really bought into it. In fact, it was only confirmed more so when I went to Spain for the first time. And to be honest, I enjoyed it more than Italy. And I thought, totally makes sense. I have Spanish heritage. In fact, I've been known to support some Spanish sporting teams, even over Australian and Spanish and Italian teams. Never the Socceroos. I'm always going for the Socceroos. Aussie through and through there. But we had been told, not just me, like the entire family, My uncle's children knew that we were Espanol. A couple of years ago, I took one of those ancestry.com DNA tests. I waited anxiously for the results. They returned, and very interesting to see what the DNA showed. The DNA showed that I am on my father's side 45% Italian and 5% Greek. There is not one drop of Spanish blood, according to the DNA. Not one iota. Not what you would think. If we had originated in Spain, there'd be at least something. But nothing. I was very perplexed. Now, I'd been told on good authority by someone who should know that we were Espanol, we were Spanish. And my dad passed 30 years ago, so I couldn't confront him and say, "Dad, what's all this about Espanol?" So I asked, Mum, I've done my DNA. Didn't Dad used to say that we had Spanish heritage? Oh, yeah, Espanol. I said, "Mum, I don't know, but there's Espanol, but there's no Espanol in my DNA." She was, "Oh, well, that's what he said." And so I was really troubled by this. And one day I happened to be with one of my cousins, my cousin Gary. I said, "Gaz, have you been told that we have Spanish heritage?" He goes, "Espanol." I said, "That's exactly what I'm talking about, Espanol. You tell me all you know about Espanol." He said, well, he was laughing by now. He said, "Well, cuz, this is the story. The story is we had a great-grandfather or great-great-great-grandfather who went to Spain for a holiday. He left Italy to Spain for a holiday. Stayed a bit longer than he should have. And when he finally returned back in the village, everyone made fun of him and called him Espanol. And from that time onwards, all his family became known as Espanol, the Spaniards. We went down in history as the Spaniards, but we actually come from Italy. So here I am, I'm presented with an opportunity. Do I continue to believe what I've always believed? Or do I now change my thinking to come into line with present truth? With present truth. The truth I now know. Now, God's word never changes, but our understanding of it does. And that is called revelation. That is when God reveals something that we didn't see before, didn't know before. Or he might actually come and speak. He might come and speak prophetically. He might show us in all sorts of different ways something new. And when he shows us something new, we have a choice. It's not automatically for us to come into alignment, to line up with that present truth. I believe the encouragement of the Lord to you today is to be people of present truth. To be people of present truth. Let me give you a little case study in the Word of God. I'm going to talk about two men today. There's Cornelius and there's the Apostle Peter. Cornelius, he was my uncle Cornelius, he was a Roman. He was from Italy, he was an army officer. And he was a Gentile. He wasn't Jewish. But at this stage, remember, Jesus had come and he'd ministered to the house of Israel. So all those founding fathers, the apostles, had Jewish heritage. Now we have Cornelius. He was a Gentile. But Bible says he feared God. He was a man of prayer. And he was a generous man who would give to the poor. I believe as a result of those factors, God met him one day. In fact, an angel came to Cornelius and said, "I want you to send for Peter. Go send for Peter and invite him to your house." Now, so you know, Jews didn't go to the homes of Gentiles. That was a part of their Jewish heritage. That was a part of the laws of the Jewish religion at that point. That was what the apostles were following. And that included all the dietary laws. And so Cornelius has this visitation from an angel. So he's okay. And he sends a company of his men, a contingent, to go and invite Peter to come back to his place. So as this is happening, they're on the way. They're on the way to Peter's. And this is what happens to Peter. We're going to read from, where are we? Acts chapter 10, verse 9 to 16. I'll drink to that. The next day, as Cornelius's messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. It was about noon and he was hungry. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance and he saw the sky open and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. And in the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles and birds. And a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." "No, Lord," Peter declared. "I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean." But the voice spoke again, "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." The same vision was repeated three times and the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. So can you just imagine? It was like do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, this supernatural encounter. Honestly, truth is, Peter today would be called Super Spiro. Right, people would have a lot of trouble. Oh, he comes to church. I went into a trance. Well, that's weird. Now, could that be God? But that's what's happened. That's what it says in the book of Acts. And he has this vision of these unclean animals. And he's not clear on what it means. He's pondering. He's considering. What does God mean? Don't call unclean what I have cleaned. Just at that moment, the men from Cornelius' house turn up, knock, knock, and give the invitation. "Peter, our master Cornelius has invited you to come to his house." So Acts 10, 28 to 29, Peter told them, "You know it is against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or to associate with you." So that had been Peter's present truth. As a righteous man, he had followed the Jewish law, which meant they did not associate with the unclean Gentiles. That's what he had believed. That's probably what his parents had believed. For generations, that's what they had believed and what they had practiced. But now the penny drops. He has an aha moment. There's a moment of revelation. He says, "But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean." So that vision he had of the unclean animals wasn't actually talking just about their dietary laws. It was symbolic. He was talking about the people he calls unclean. He joined the dots. Just as that moment when the Gentile contingent arrived inviting him, he goes, "That's what you were telling me about, Lord." That was what that was about. It wasn't about the reptiles. It wasn't about the pigs. It wasn't about the shellfish. It was about these Gentiles. And so he says, "So I came without objection." That blows my mind. That in a moment, Peter was willing to change his thinking. He was willing to upgrade to present truth. He could have continued in his religious tradition. He could have just done things the way he always had. This was brave. This was courageous. And that's exactly what he did. He said, "Lord, I hear what you're saying." And he was humble. I really believe in this hour, God wants us to cultivate humble, teachable hearts. Say, well, you know, sometimes it's not that it was wrong. It was right for a season. It was right for then. But sometimes God draws a line in the sand and said, what's okay before is not okay anymore. And this is what happens. He says, "So I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me why you sent for me." And the story goes that Peter preaches the gospel to the house of Cornelius. People, the family, Cornelius and his family, the whole household are saved. They hear the gospel. They hear the good news. They become disciples of Jesus. And then they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Peter goes, "Wow, now I've really got to change my mind. God has made it very clear. He hasn't just come for the Jews. He's come for the Gentiles." Now, to us now, we're living in that present truth. You know, that there is not one Christian today that's going to challenge me on that point? Does it matter where you come from, what your religious heritage is, what your cultural heritage is? That salvation is for everyone. Right? That's pretty basic. It's not hugely controversial, especially evangelical, Protestant, Pentecostal, charismatic, right? That's our present truth. But Peter paid a price of bravery and courage. That was pivotal. His courage is affecting you and me today. I pray we will have the spirit of Peter. Yeah, to believe God, to be prepared, to upgrade to present truth. It's happened all through church history, right? It's happened all through church history. Martin Luther in the 1500s, he was a Catholic priest and he had a revelation that the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The penny dropped. Now, the word of God hadn't changed. The Bible hadn't changed. I'm not talking about rewriting the Bible. I'm talking about seeing it through different eyes. That happens at different times through history. But God will reveal a truth. And he wrote out his convictions, wrote out what God showed him, hammered it on the church door in Germany, Wittenberg in Germany. Luther, Martin Luther. Yeah, he got excommunicated. He paid a big price. Now, the just shall live by faith. That doesn't seem very, controversial today. But it took someone upgrading to present truth. The same with who's been baptized? Give me a wave if you have been baptized in water, full immersion. I got christened and so prior to the 1600s, babies were christened everywhere. That's all they knew. They'd lost some stuff, right? After the early church, some stuff had been lost. And 1600s, there were these guys we know as the Baptists and the Anabaptists, seeing scriptures, believe and be baptized. They're going, hang on, how can babies believe? And they recalled how they took them into the waters, they took them into the river, and they would immerse them in the days of Jesus. So they fought for that. And so the Baptist church started. But there were still churches who didn't move on to that present truth, who still today only christen infants. Or they'll do to a convert, that they will, but it's not like our requirement is that someone, on the testimony of their faith, they're baptized, believe and be baptized. Okay. Sometimes it's much more personal. Well, you have to upgrade to present truth about yourself. What's God saying about you? That's not always easy. It's not always easy. Church I was a part of in Perth when I got born again was a church that didn't ordain women in ministry. Their theology was that only men could be ordained in ministry and be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And then in 1992, I relocated, as I shared earlier, from Perth to Brisbane to do a prophetic training school for 5 months. At the end of that 5 months, the pastor of the church where the school was based was also a prophet of great reputation at the time. And he called me into his office, sat me down, he said, "Vicky, I see the call of the prophet on your life. I want to apprentice you in the call of God." And I was, hang on, we don't believe that in my church. We don't ordain women in the ministry. Women can't be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Now, it's not that I didn't doubt that, to be honest. Like, I kind of had suspected that God did use women in those things, but that was the theology of the time. That's what the church believed. And I remember arguing with him and saying, can't I be handmaiden of the Lord? Woman of God? I said, Because I thought, this is just going to bring me, that's just going to cause me trouble, me believing this and going back to my home church. Well, I was frustrated enough as it was because I knew I had the call of God on my life, and I assumed I was going to have to marry a pastor, to be honest, because I thought if no one else would let me preach, he'd have to let me preach. But he told me, he said, if you don't won't believe me, I want you to go away and pray about it. He said, the Apostle Paul knew who he was. He'd start every letter, Paul, an apostle, called to the Gentile. You know, Jesus knew who he was. All those I ams of Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine. He said, basically, you need to know who you am. And that's what I did. And I remember my Bible, literally, it was only within the next day or two, my Bible dropping open at Jeremiah chapter 1. And the call of God to Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, literally jumped off the page at me. You know, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I called you, appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. It jumped off. I mean, God, people know a lot about the still small voice of God. Who's heard about the still small voice of God? Yeah, we all hear about that. God knows how to shout when he has to. Still small voice of God was the experience of one depressed prophet in a cave, and we've made it a doctrine. There's lots of God's voice thunders. It says in Psalms, his voice breaks the cedars of Lebanon. It says in Revelation, his voice is like the sound of many waters. So God can shout, he can whisper, and everything in between. A lot of Christians get very frustrated and disappointed and discouraged with hearing the voice of God, because they're straining for the whisper. Oh, still small voice. But just relax in the truth that John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Here, not maybe here, possibly here, potentially here. Give me a wave if you've given your life to Jesus. You're born again, yeah, follow Jesus. That's talking about you. You're his sheep and you hear his voice. Not because of who you are, but because of whose you are. Not because of what you've done or can do, it's because of what Jesus has done for you. Hearing the voice of God is part of your salvation package. It's not an added extra additional cherry on the cake, it's a part of the cake. You're wired for sound. 1 Corinthians 6:17, when you gave your life to Jesus, let me tell you what happened. At that moment, however it happened, wherever it happened, whether you prayed with someone, by yourself, at that moment, boom, the Spirit of God, bam, came into your spirit. And you changed spiritual address. You went from darkness to light. You went from death to life. And 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he who joins himself to the Lord becomes one spirit with God. You became one spirit with God, not God from a distance. And so many Christians pray and like God's up there and we're down here. And the voice of the Lord's got to come from outer space. No, the voice of the Lord comes from inner space, because that's where he lives. He is in you. And so that's what happened. God spoke to me, called to be a prophet to the nations. I'm like, oh my gosh. Still didn't know how was this going to roll out, given that my church didn't believe this stuff. But I had to upgrade to present truth. Well, what did I do? I didn't go running around to everyone saying, I'm a prophet, and can you give me an opportunity? Can you open a door? Can I preach in your church? No. Like Mary, I kept these things in my heart, but it's what I believe that was important. What I believe. I had to change, to be in alignment, to come into agreement with what God says. Now, what is it for you personally? What is it that God's saying to you? It could be about who you are. I had to adjust my thinking. I can't say I'm Spanish anymore. It's just not true. Funny story, my mum always told me she had Irish heritage. The DNA doesn't bear. It's not out. It's not there in the DNA. It's all English with a little touch of Wales. There's a smidgen of Irish, but not even where she thinks from. Smidgen of Northern Ireland. She tells the story of the grandfather in Cork. No, but you know what? Mum won't upgrade to present truth. You cannot tell her that she does not have Irish heritage. So what is it for you today? It takes courage. I'd love the worship team to return, please. Thank you, Lord. What time are we? What time do we trying to look at? I'm not seeing times countdown. Yeah, my kiddo. Thank you, Lord. I pray that we'll have this like the spirit of Peter. Yeah. Not to be so stubborn and locked in to our traditions. To be brave, to be bold. Sweetheart sitting in the end of the row there with your glasses there. What's your name, Dale? Chantel? Shanti. Hello, Shanti. Now, some of you here today, I don't know how familiar you are with prophetic ministry, but I just get impressions. I just get thoughts. I'm not all seeing and all knowing. So some people get nervous. Two types of people. Some people put on their fluoro t-shirt when they know a prophet's coming. Pick me, like the donkey in Shrek. Pick me. Then you get people who get very nervous and they think I can see everything. I'm all seeing, all knowing. I'm going to call out your sin. I do not see sin, just for the record. I'm not looking for it. I'm not interested in it. In fact, chances are I'll see you better than you see yourself. God wants to encourage his people. Yeah. And Shanti, I believe God wants to encourage you today. Yeah. And he's picked you out of the crowd just to reassure you that he's not forgotten you. With all the people there are in the universe, he's got time for you. He's got time for you. Life hasn't been easy. Stuff you've gone through, still going through. God's got answers. He wants you to know. He's right. He's right there. It's like right there. And there are going to come new ideas. There are going to come. At times you're going to be in a situation, even with a loved one, what do I do? What do I say? You're just going to know. The courage is in believing that it's God. Sometimes, and so who else has experienced this? Is that you? Is that me? Is that you? Is that me? All right? Sometimes we just, I love Luke 11. It says, if you ask for bread, he doesn't give you a stone. If you ask for fish, he doesn't give you a serpent. He loves to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And I hear Shanti, the Lord, saying, ask. Don't be afraid to ask. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord of the things you need. Ask him. Ask him for wisdom. He is your provider, Jehovah Jireh. One of his names is your provider. And I see a list and you're starting to tick them off, the things you need. Starting to tick them off. Changing your thinking about yourself. You're more precious. You're more special. You're more significant than you realize. I thank you, Father, for Shanti. What's your name, Dale? Right here. Sonia? Latonia? Latonia. You look so much like my sister-in-law. It's literally like looking at my sister-in-law's doppelganger. Latonia. It's the same for you, Latonia. God wants to change your perspective of yourself. I see new purpose coming to you, real new sense of purpose. I see you're one who's quick to practically help people, quick to practically help. Someone's in need, what do you need? You'll pitch in. You'll be there to look after their kids. You'll be there to help them, whatever the situation is. And that is actually a gift of God in you. You think, oh, everyone does that. No, they don't. But you know what? I can actually see you being a part of a team, helping people in even bigger ways, ways you couldn't by yourself. And I watch more. I see you organizing people. You got a leadership gift. Is this your family? Do you reckon that's right? Yeah, I see you both nodding. Got a leadership gift. And so there's going to be some open doors come to you, Latonia. Some open doors. And what your challenge is going to be, you'll think, can I go through those doors? Yeah, me? So that's going to be the upgrade to present truth. Yeah, Vicky declared to me that, yes, I'm allowed. I'm allowed to walk through those doors. I'm allowed to think of myself as that. I just heard the Lord say, permission granted. Permission granted. You're a blessing. What a blessing you are. Who's next to you? Who are you? Stephen, any relation? It's your hubby? I'll have to ask. Sometimes I make mistakes and then people think the prophet's putting them together and, oh my, I thought you were, but always check now because I've been caught before. Stephen, you got a soft heart. You got a sweet heart. And it's the same for you. You know, I see even as a little boy, it's like there was this thing that kept putting you down. You know, you weren't really lifted up. Some insecure voices in your life. It's just. But that's the past. And I know sometimes, you know, we have the little boy, the little girl or whatever in the side of us who still feels those things, who still remembers those things. But today's a new day. And I hear God saying, remember not the former things. Nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. It's a new day for your family. Yeah, it's a new day for your family. I said a picture of fruit trees. Fruitful. Fruitful. Who knows God's... Is God challenging anyone about changing your thinking? Sometimes we've got to change thinking about other people. Who's ever been wrong about someone? Oh yeah, I have. I've been wrong. My first impressions, I've had some doozies. Or I haven't liked someone. And then I've changed my mind. When you're proven to be wrong, yeah, it takes humility. It takes humility to say, well, I was wrong. They are not who I thought they were. Right in the very back row, beautiful lady nodding at me. You got the white and the black shirt. What's your name? Hazel. Hazel. I get the scripture, if God be for you, who can be against you? An old song comes to mind. It is God who trains my hands for battle. By him I can bend a bow of bronze. And he remembers that. I didn't sing it very well. I was a bit, you know, the music there was not quite the same. God's going to teach you how to fight in ways that you haven't before. Spiritual warfare. You do not wrestle, Hazel, against flesh and blood. Principalities and powers. Right. And I see God opening your eyes to see some things very differently. You're going to see the spirit that is at work resisting you. I even see in the workplace. Yeah. God wants to promote you. God wants you at a higher level. There has been resistance. There have been lies. Break every lie right now in the name of Jesus. And I literally see God, like pieces on a chessboard, God's going to move some pieces and then to put you right where he wants you to be. I see he's got you like a chess piece, Hazel, putting you, not by might, not by power, but by his spirit. Yeah. You're a blessing. You're a blessing. A sweetheart on the end here, the very back. Prophets don't just see the front row, right? We go, what's your name, darling, in the white dress? Julie. Julie, God loves you so much. Oh, I feel my heart welling up. There's sometimes the voice of God comes by a feeling. Not everything we feel is God, to be honest. But sometimes it really is. I feel God's love for you. I just hear him saying, well done. Well done. You've taken some big steps of obedience. And I hear him saying, he is going to complete the good work that he started in you. There's a great scripture. He who has begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Yeah? And I see also wisdom. God gives us wisdom. That's beyond our natural, ability. Just God ideas of how to do, what to do, when to do it. Wisdom. Been some family challenges. God's going to bring healing. God's going to bring healing. I declare it. I declare mending. Where there's been just some threads that are loose. Healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know, I'm not going to assume because you're all here sitting in church on a Sunday that you're all following Jesus. I'm not going to assume that. You're in a good relationship with the Lord. And be very remiss of me if I did not give you an opportunity in this moment to give your life to Jesus for the first time or another time to come back to Him. Be great, great opportunity here in March 2026. I'd love you to close your eyes for a moment. Not as a religious tradition, but I want you to really consider. When I was asked at a Christmas Day service in 1980, I was 19 years old, and I was asked, have you given your life to Jesus? Have you given your heart to the Lord? I didn't understand the question because I thought I've been christened, I've been first Holy Communion, I've been confirmed. I thought three times that I know of. And I said to the pastor, I think so. But if you think so and don't know so, you probably haven't. And today I believe the Lord wants to give anyone here an opportunity to receive Jesus, whether for the first time or another time, to receive, open up your heart, admit your need for God, to put Him first in your life, to be a follower, a disciple of the Lord Jesus, a follower. Or maybe you say, Vicky, yes, I've prayed that prayer before, but maybe Jesus is not in the driver's seat of your life. Maybe He is in the back seat. You can come for the ride, Jesus. I just don't want you interfering or taking the wheel. Or maybe He's in the boot of the car just for a bit of insurance. But really, I don't really want to, you know, have much to do with you. And God wants you today to put Him number one, to put Him first. So with every eye closed, if that's you today, you want to receive Jesus for the first time or another time. You want to come back, surrender, get right with Him. I'd love you just to indicate by shooting up your hand. Give me a wave. That's me. Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you. If there's anybody else, thank you. Anybody else today? Because we're going to pray in just a moment, just right where you are. Just going to lead you in a prayer so you can know that today you've got peace with God. Today you've born again. You've got eternal life. You don't have to fear death, because those of us who know the Lord, we will live eternal life with Him in heaven. So very quickly, if there's anyone else, we're going to pray in just a moment. Thank you, Lord, hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord, I thank you for your presence here. Thank you for your Spirit. Oh Lord, we need you, need you, need you. Thank you, Lord. Okay, guys, those of you who raised your hand, this prayer is for you. But we're all going to pray together. We're all going to pray out loud together. Is that right? To encourage these ones as well. So let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that He died for me, to give me life. And right now, I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I'm sorry I've ignored you and lived life my own way, but today I choose your way. I thank you that you love me and you have great plans for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Yes. Great decision. Great decision. Very quickly before I hand back. What's your name, darling? Lily? Lily. I appreciate all the worship team. I said to Pastor Anami, you've got the complete band, like with the Fremantle and here. It's like every seat is filled. It was beautiful this morning. Lily, I see that God wants to encourage you. really to press in the area of songwriting. Somebody, God's going to give you songs. Some of them you will just receive like by revelation. Some will be with others, like, you know, brainstorming. And I see songs that, I see one or two that will be specifically for here. Specifically for here. Oh, well, sometimes musicians can, you know, they've got this perfection thing, you know, and they hear everything they do wrong rather than what they're doing right. Doesn't have to be perfect. Just has to be done. Yeah? You're a blessing. You're a blessing in Jesus' name. And the evangelist spirit on you, yeah? I see God opening new doors for you. New doors out there in the community to take ground. To take ground for Jesus. Strongholds, demonic strongholds. He's going to change your concept of ministry. He's going to, this paradigm shift I'm talking about today, present truth, paradigm shifts. I see God doing a number on you, Bert. But it's a number, it's actually going to release you, free you. And oh, I see you taking a deep breath. You're going to feel like this backpack's off your back. And you're going to run and not grow weary. You're going to walk and not faint. And you're going to find, oh, you're just scratching the surface. This is the day of small beginnings. God has got so much more fruitfulness and souls who will be added. Not just through you, but through the others who you will empower and equip in Jesus' name. Can I have us all stand right now? Let me just pray over you as a church for a hand back. So thank you. Yeah, that's good. Keep playing. It's beautiful. So Father, right now, I thank you for C3 Kwinana, and I thank you, Father God, for these beautiful people here today. And I thank you, Father, for divine connections, that this will be a place when people without family will find family. I see people, this is going to be their life source. They're going to be on the brink of death, the brink of like no hope. They've got no hope. They're desperate, and they're going to come here. And I see the life flowing through those of you here, life flowing through to these ones. It's going to give them life. Father God, I just thank you today. Oh, Father, for lifting right now, Lord, expectation in our hearts. I thank you, Father, for releasing a new level of faith. And I thank you, Father God, for each one, Lord, would fulfill the purpose for which you have made them. Holy Spirit, right now, touch each one, I pray. Release your spirit in this place. Stir up every gift, every destiny in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a great hand of praise.
Amen. Amen.